I know it's kind of getting late in the day, and many of you might have little trick-or-treaters at home, as I do. I actually brought my daughter from Uganda so she could experience Halloween. She's two. She's waiting for me. But anyway, I'm delighted to be here today. I hope everyone's doing well. Health Initiatives in the Private Sector is a program in Uganda that works with the Ugandan private sector to help expand services in health, particularly in HIV/AIDS, TB, malaria, family planning, and reproductive health. This is a program that started in 2007 and will run through 2013, and it is fully funded by USAID. And what I think is unique about this program is that it's based on a fully public-private partnership. So for every dollar the U.S. government is investing in this program, we are receiving a match from that, from these private providers, to expand health services. And when we say expand health services, we mean not only health services if it's a company for their employees, but also to the broader community. So the role of the HIPS project, and as you know, all USAID projects have great acronyms. I'll just refer to this one as HIPS. Essentially what we do is we make the business case for companies in Uganda, and we're working with over 100 companies, to invest in the health of their employees and their community. Now, our point of entry for this program has always been with companies, but oftentimes when we went to a company and talked with them, they either were running a health clinic, and so we were able to help them expand their services, or they were referring to another private clinic in their vicinity, so then we went and we worked with that private facility. Or they were working with an insurance program, and so we would work with the insurance company to expand benefits in all of these areas. Originally, this program was really focused on HIV/AIDS, and I think one of the successes have been that family planning has been the one area that companies and private facilities have really asked for us to integrate into this overall program. So we have, like I said, over 100 companies we're working with and over 100 clinics that we work with. Half of these clinics actually sit on company premises but open to the community, and the other half of these clinics actually sit are for-profit private clinics that sit in communities. Real quickly, this is a map of Uganda. If anyone knows anything about Ugandan politics, every day there's new districts created. Used to be 60, there's now 130. But this is the country. And we don't have a geographic focus. We go wherever the private sector is. So that's our point of entry. But we're in about half the districts. HIPS menu of services, we are really focused on going in and talking to companies and private facilities about the business case of investing in health. And we talk to them about services that we can work with them on and expand through a cost-shared arrangement. For reproductive health and family planning, we do workplace policies. We've trained over 8,000 peer educators at companies and also in the community on things like family planning and reproductive health. We do a lot of health fairs, men-only seminars, text messaging programs, radio programs. We are linked to low-cost health commodities through a number of social marketing programs and other franchises that exist within Uganda. And we also do accreditation of clinics. We currently accredit private clinics for HIV/AIDS and TB, and we're working on a program that expands to family planning. So as much as we can, we try to work very closely with district health teams, the public sector district health team, and also the Ministry of Health. Just a little bit of background on Uganda. Uganda has a rapid population growth. Uganda is about the size of Wisconsin, its country, and it has over 30 million people currently. And the estimates are that it can be close to 90 million by 2050. And land mass, obviously, is a problem. And so there's a lot of population pressure. There's quite a difference between rural areas have a total fertility rate of 7 compared to 4.3 in urban areas. Family planning is still relatively low, with 24% prevalence and 41% unmet need. What I think is interesting, and I think this is the experience in a lot of African countries, is that 75% of health expenditures in Uganda occur through the private sector. These are out-of-pocket expenditures on medical goods and services, mostly out-of-pocket from individuals. And that 65% of Ugandans of reproductive age that use family planning services are getting them through the private sector. So the private sector is a really key access point to scale up the delivery of family planning services. This project has been ongoing for about 4 years, and so these are just some of the successes that we've had all through partnership in terms of our contraceptive prevalence rates, over 100 partners. You know, long-term methods is something that we added in only last year, and half of our clinics immediately went to long-term methods. This program has only 100 clinics that work with it, but we are constantly having more clinics that want to be working with us, and probably a follow-on program will really look at expanding into and really scaling up this program to many more service providers. What I wanted to talk a little bit about is this public-private partnership and some of the innovations that we have with family planning. This idea of co-investments with companies and private for-profit facilities has really been beneficial. We work in the workplace, but then also with workplaces, if we take a cotton company or Nile Breweries, for example, which makes beer, or any of the sugar companies, all of them have very long supply chains that reach into very remote rural areas, mostly among farmers or fishing communities, or the oil companies are in very remote places. And so what we really do is try to target these supply chains and deepen to communities to try to link people to services. And we do this through a lot of community peer education, where we train people for 3 days in the community to get information out on how to get services. And we work through other things like health fairs. We do men-only seminars, particularly for family planning, and pre-recorded radio programs. We try not to take people out of the workplace, so we do on-site training and mentoring. And then we also do what we call joint support supervision with districts. So whenever we go to visit clinics, which we try to do 2 and 3 times a year, we go with somebody from the district health team so that we can create these links between the public and the private sector. We also insist on doing integrated outreaches. All our companies and clinics do outreaches into the community, and although they all started with HIV/AIDS, they are now linked with several different types of outreaches to family planning, prevention of malaria and pregnancy, STIs, safe male circumcision is now something that we're promoting quite a bit, and all of these are linked through a package of integrated services at all of our clinics. So we're also looking at increasing the uptake of services, but we're also looking at the supply. And so we have reached out to a number of franchises, particularly pharmacy franchises and other social marketing programs in the country, to ensure that there is available and low-cost supply of commodities for family planning. Injectables is one of the most popular uses in Uganda, but there's lots of other choices as well. We are also trying to utilize mobile health applications for increasing awareness and referral. We have partnerships with the largest cell company called Airtel to give cell phones to peer educators so that peer educators that are deep in communities can use those cell phones through a closed user group linked to clinics and linked to hotlines to ask questions and to refer services. That's been a successful program. We have a text-to-change program that pushes out messages on family planning and reproductive health, but is also you can ask questions through this text messaging program. And then we have another program, Access Mobile, which allows clinics to do their ordering online of family planning products and to so that we can also monitor stockouts and manage that. So we're really trying to use these handheld devices, smartphones basically, to improve the supply and the information around family planning and reproductive health. Some of the challenges that we certainly have is the need for strong quality and regulation systems in the private sector. For those of you who work in developing countries, there's always this question around the private sector. Everyone goes to it, but it's highly unregulated. People think you get good quality services there, but no one is ever sure because it's very hard to sort of audit and monitor these programs. And so this program is trying to work very closely with the Ministry of Health and the district health teams to link them to the private sector to have some supervision. This year we're going to roll out with these private clinics a self-monitoring and self-regulation system that they will be linked to. So those are some of the things that we're trying to do to improve quality in the private sector. We do have high attrition rates. You train people and then they move on to other jobs. It's about 30% in some of our clinics, and so that is something that we're really struggling with. The collaboration between public and private still remains weak because the public systems are overburdened, and it's hard for them to take on the additional monitoring and coordination with the private sector, but that is improving. Male involvement has been low, but we have lots of programs that are targeted towards males. that is beginning to increase their participation. The cost of family service, family planning services is still high for most of Uganda, and so a lot of these pharmacy franchise and social marketing programs are really looking at improving the availability of low-cost quality family planning services. And then, you know, it hasn't been mentioned here yet, but I'm sure it's all at the back of some people's mind. When you talk about family planning now and in Africa with the high risk of HIV/AIDS, there has been some recent data that's come out about the link between people who use hormonal methods increasing their risk of HIV. This is information that's only come out in the last few months, and so if you're working in African countries, we're all struggling to see what are the best messages there. The message has always been dual protection. Family planning methods aren't, you know, preventing HIV, but still we are very concerned because in most African countries, oftentimes the most at-risk woman is a married woman who doesn't use condoms within her marriage, and so it's a very hard message to get right, and so we'll be looking at making sure that we get that message right and we get the right information out there to people. Mm-hmm. I've got 1 minute. So this is just an example here to show that family planning was not originally designed as part of this project, but given the demand of private sector clinics, it's become one of our more popular services. It's integrated with family planning, with HIV/AIDS, TB, and malaria, and over the last 2 years, particularly with long-term methods, our contraceptive rates have really gone up. You know, in going forward, and I talked about it already, so I'll be quick on this one, we're really looking at quality in the private sector, standards and regulation, and linking with district health teams. We're looking at integration. We never just talk about family planning or just HIV or malaria. It's all very closely linked together. And sustainability is really looking at improving availability of quality commodities through private sector outlets. I think that this program has shown on a small scale that the private sector can bring significant financial and human resources to family planning, and it can play an important role, even in very rural areas, in scaling up access to services, particularly when you do it through a partnership arrangement with districts and with donors and the public health system. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Barbara. Very nice. Okay, our final speaker is going to be talking about unmet need for family planning in several Central American countries through the lens of equity. Jessica Levy, am I pronouncing that? Levy is completing her PhD in the Department of Maternal and Child Health at University of North Carolina's Gilling School of Global Public Health. Her dissertation examines the influence of contraceptive supply on demand for family planning by linking facility and individual level data collected in urban Nigeria. In addition to her doctoral work, Jessica has lived in Central and South America, conducted research on questions related to gender and socioeconomic inequity and contraceptive security. She's also co-founder and acting president of non-governmental organization, the Minga Foundation, that partners with individuals and community-based organizations in underserved communities, looking at socioeconomic conditions and health equity. She has a one-eared Ecuadorian mutt named Sam that hails from one of the regions where Mingo works.